Actually, bringing someone back dead is a big no-no, but this seemed like a good time to make an empty threat. It was late afternoon, it was spring, and I wanted to get on with my life.
You probably don't even have a gun, Paulson said.
Hey, give me a break. I haven't got all day for this. I have other things to do.
Like what?
I promised my parents I'd be home for dinner at 6. Paulson burst out laughing.
That's pathetic. Pathetic!
The laughter turned into a coughing fit. Paulson leaned forward, wobbled side to side, and fell over. I reached for him, but it was too late. He was back on his belly, doing his beached whale imitation. My parents live in a narrow duplex in a chunk of Trenton called The Burg. The Burg is a solid neighborhood where people buy houses and live in them until death kicks them out. I rolled in just as my mother was pulling the roast chicken out of the oven. My father was already in his seat at the head of the table. He stared straight ahead, eyes glazed, knife and fork in hand. My sister Valerie, who had recently moved back home after leaving her husband, was whipping potatoes in the kitchen. When we were kids, Valerie was the perfect daughter. And I was the daughter who stepped in dog poo, sat on gum, and constantly fell off the garage roof in an attempt to fly. Valerie's kids were at the table with my dad. The 9-year-old Angie was sitting primly with her hands folded, an almost perfect clone of Valerie at that age. The 7-year-old Mary Alice, the kid from hell, had 2 sticks poked into her brown hair. "What's with the sticks?" I asked.
"They're not sticks. They're antlers. I'm a reindeer."
This was a surprise because usually she's a horse.
"How was your day?" Grandma asked me. "Did you shoot anybody?"
Grandma Mazur moved in with my parents shortly after Grandpa Mazur took his fat-clogged arteries to the all-you-can-eat buffet in the sky. She's in her mid-70s and doesn't look a day over 90. She was wearing white tennis shoes and a lavender polyester warm-up suit. Her steel-gray hair was cut short and permed to within an inch of its life. Her nails were painted lavender to match the suit. "I didn't shoot anybody, but I brought in a guy wanted for credit card fraud." There was a knock at the front door, and Mabel Markowitz stuck her head in and called, "Yoo-hoo!" My parents live in a 2-family duplex. They own the south half, and Mabel Markowitz owns the north half.
"I hate to disturb your meal," Mabel said. "I just wanted to ask Stephanie if she'd stop over later. I have a question about this bond business. It's for a friend."
"Sure," I said. "I'll be over after dinner." I imagined it would be a short conversation, since everything I knew about bond could be said in 2 sentences. Mabel left, and Grandma leaned forward.
"I bet that's a lot of hooey about wanting advice for a friend. I bet Mabel's been busted."
Everyone simultaneously rolled their eyes at Grandma. "If there's anyone in that family who would need a bail bond, it would be Mabel's ex-grandson-in-law," my mother said. "He's mixed up with some bad people these days. Evelyn was smart to divorce him."
"Yeah, and that divorce was real nasty," Grandma said to me. "Almost as nasty as yours."
I set a high standard. Mabel Markowitz lives in a museum. She married in 1943 and still has her first table lamp, her first pot, her first chrome and formica kitchen table. Her hair is thin and gray, cut short and curled. Her face is powdered first thing in the morning to a chalky white. Her lipstick is pink and applied hourly.
"Stephanie," she said, "come in. I have a coffee cake."
Mrs. Markowitz always has a coffee cake. That's the way it is in the Burg. Windows are clean, cars are big, and there's always a coffee cake. I took a seat at the kitchen table. "The truth is, I don't know very much about bond. My cousin Vinny is the bond expert."
"It's not so much about bond," Mabel said. "It's more about finding someone. And I fibbed about it being for a friend."
Mabel's eyes filled with tears.